Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover. Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. The Lakers are headed to the Western Conference Finals after starting the season 2-10, having a 0.3% chance of even making the playoffs. The Lakers find themselves in the Final Four going up against the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. Pretty incredible. I mean, I know that the Lakers had a massive trade that happened at the trade deadline that helped get them to this point. Right, had they had the same exact team that they had that had that 2-10 start, they probably wouldn't have made the playoffs. So that whole 0.3% chance to make the playoffs thing, take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, it's not like that same exact team is the same team that made the playoffs and is making the Western Conference Finals, but the fact that the Lakers, you know, the organization from top to bottom, from Jeannie Buss to Rob Pelinka to the players, LeBron, Anthony Davis, did what needed to be done to get to this point is a tremendous, just a tremendous season altogether, which has just been so fun to watch and so fun to follow. Shout out to Rob Pelinka for making the trade, getting things done. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, all those guys, Rui Hachimura, you know, from top to bottom, owner, GM, players from top to bottom, the starting players, the bench players. Like, it's been incredible to watch and follow. I mean, there was a point in the season where I was more interested and more invested in the Los Angeles Kings, the hockey team, just because the Lakers were so hard to watch and it was just not fun. It was just tough. It was a hard watch. And from, you know, around the start of this year to the trade deadline to now, it's been riveting. I haven't missed a game. Well, I've missed maybe a few games, but like I've been locked in and it's just been so fun to watch. And I think the rest of Lakers Nation feels the same way. And even, you know, I don't get a ton of listeners on this podcast, but the numbers don't lie. Like, people are invested. They want to hear what's going on. They want to listen to Lakers content and stuff. And it's been fun. It's been fun to be a part of the, just Lakers Nation, Lakers Twitter. It's fun. So the Lakers end up closing out the Golden State Warriors on Friday in game six back at home in LA. And my podcast before game six, I didn't feel tremendous about that game. You know, like, this series had followed the exact same blueprint as the first round series against Memphis. One game one, lost game two, won games three and four, lost game five, won game six, and Lakers won game six by 40. Going into this game six against the Warriors, I felt good, assuming that Anthony Davis and LeBron James could get things done and take care of business. They're arguably, I mean, Steph is really good, but they were arguably the two best players in the series. I think most people would say that maybe Anthony Davis was the best and then Steph Curry, or Steph Curry was the best, Anthony Davis second best, maybe LeBron third best. You know, there's a debate to be had there. But I think game six kind of proved not just that who was, you know, the most dominant in the series and the most valuable in the series, but which team was just better prepared and better formulated to go on a playoff run and win a playoff series. And, you know, the Warrior, and Steve Kerr said this after the game, he kind of said, like, this team wasn't really built for a finals run and all that stuff. And whether or not you believe, you know, I don't know, Basketball's a game of inches, right? Things could go totally differently if Steph hits a three in game four, which he very well could have. You know, like things could have been very different very easily. So I don't want to say like, oh, this Warriors team, or I don't think you can let the Lakers off the hook saying that this Warriors team just wasn't good and didn't have it made. Like the Lakers outplayed them, and they, you know, the Warriors missed some shots, sure. They missed some open shots, but the Lakers defense stepped up and stepped up big. Lakers end up, and the funny thing is, going into game six, I wasn't expecting a blowout, right? Like the Lakers beat the Grizzlies by 40 in game six. And game six against the Warriors, it's like, you know, I think the Lakers can win, but it'll probably be a close battle. They probably won't blow them out. But the Lakers end up getting the win 122 to 101. And you know, I think I talked about in my last episode the Lakers, how their defense has stepped up, and kind of like the cliche of defense wins championships and all that stuff. And I think it's true. I don't think it's, I mean, it's cliche in a way, but there's truth to it. It's a cliche for a reason. And it's the Lakers defense that's going to get them to the finals and potentially even win the finals. It's funny because like even up until getting into the playoffs and even in the first round of the playoffs and stuff, I was kind of still kind of feeling out this team and this Lakers team and unsure like if we could legit call them a finals contender and stuff. And even, I mean, even against the Warriors, right? It's like, it's just hard to say, like, this team has looked so different, and they're so, it's a new team. This is almost a brand new team at the trade deadline. And so it's hard to say, oh yeah, like this team is a title contender and all that stuff. And it isn't until now, as a team that is playing in the Western Conference Finals, that you can legitimately say that they're a finals contender. So defense just is the way that this team is going to win the finals this season, if they're going to do that. And you know, I mentioned in my last episode how the Lakers had, you know, they had held the Grizzlies to 9 points in game three in the first quarter, and they had held team you know they had held teams to like 10 points in a quarter, and just pretty crazy stuff like that. And this game, the Lakers, I mean, they played good defense. They didn't have anything crazy like that where they held the Warriors to 10 points in a quarter or anything, but it was a perfect mix of good offense, good defense, and getting the job done. In the first quarter, the Lakers went up on a hu to a huge lead, 17 point. They're up 17 points in the first quarter, and I'm like, well, here we go. Things are looking good. I like the sign of this. And that's obviously the Lakers starters against the Warriors starters. And then the Lakers made some substitutions, Warriors made some substitutions. Things kind of started to look a little hairy. And the Golden State Warriors they basically made that 17-point lead disappear. And at the end of the first quarter, it was only a 5-point lead. And I'm like, okay, here we go. This is what I was expecting. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a battle. 31 to 26. Lakers were up 31-26 after the first quarter. And then in the second quarter, the Lakers defense stepped up. This was the lowest scoring quarter for the Warriors. They only scored 20 points, but the Lakers only had a 25-point quarter. But the end of the second quarter, I think, is what set the tone for this game. It was a 5-point or a 7-point game. It was a 7-point game. The Warriors had the ball. The Lakers missed a shot on their, you know, down on their offensive end. The Warriors are coming down. Klay Thompson gets a three. I can't remember how wide open he was or not, but he airballs it. Klay Thompson airballs a three. It lands right in Dante DiVincenzo's hands underneath the basket. I'm like, oh gosh, he's gonna score. You know, wide offensive, another offensive rebound. He's gonna score. It's gonna be a 5-point game going to halftime. Anybody's game. And Dante DiVincenzo gets the offensive rebound, goes up for the layup. Anthony Davis comes out of nowhere, blocks the shot. Lakers pick up the rebound. Austin Reaves gets the ball, dribbles it up to half court with like, you know, 2 seconds left, 1 second left, launches a half court shot, nails it, and the Lakers go up 10 at halftime. And at that point, I felt pretty good. I won't say that I felt like, oh yeah, this game's 100% a complete wrap, because I mentioned this before, like a 10-point lead against the Warriors is chump change. It's nothing. You know, a 10-point lead against other teams, you feel pretty good. But against the Warriors, right? Like Steph hits two threes. You know, it's Steph hits a three, you go down on offense, miss a shot, turn the ball over, whatever. Steph comes down, hits another three. It's a 4-point game. You know, like it can happen in 15 seconds of game time. So a 10-point lead against the Warriors, I don't feel great about. But given the context of like this very well could have been a 5-point game going into halftime. Instead, you get a 5-point swing. Lakers hit the half court shot at the end of the buzzer, go up 10. The place is going nuts. Crypto.com Arena is going nuts. Austin Reeves is going down and like yell, like, you know, he's pumped up. He's fired up with the fans. He accidentally slaps a fan in the face because he's trying to high five another fan. Just funny stuff. And it just kind of shifted the momentum. I think if the Lakers go down, go into halftime only up 5, I think things are still looking decent, but you don't have nearly the momentum shift that you get with one going up 10 and the just everyone being pumped up and fired up from the half court shot. Like that just it's incredible. So the Lakers go into the third quarter and they built up a lead. This actually was the third quarter, surprisingly, was the Warriors' highest scoring quarter. They put up 31 points in the third quarter. Lakers thankfully put up 35, so they still outscored them and actually built on the lead. So going into the fourth quarter, they're up 14, and from there it kind of, you know, Lakers end up outscoring them in the fourth quarter, 31-24. Late, you know, I think like 4 minutes or so left in the game, it kind of became garbage time. And the Lakers seal a 21-point victory. And I've kind of buried the lead here. This was a kind of a vintage LeBron James game. LeBron led the, did he lead the game or just the Lakers? He led the Lakers. Steph had two more points in him. LeBron ends up with 30 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists on 10 of 14 shooting, played 43 minutes. He went 2 for 3 from three. Just like really incredible things like, I forget if it was in the first or second quarter, but LeBron goes down and falls down, hits his head on the defensive end. He's slow to get up, and Lakers are running their offense without LeBron with only four guys. LeBron's slow to get up. He comes down trailing, and they get him the ball, and he just walks right into a three and nails it. You know, it was just one of those games where things just felt right. LeBron was playing well. Gets 30 points in the game again on 10 of 14 shooting. And overall, the Lakers shot just incredible. I was always worried about, you know, game six, really any game against the Warriors, where it's like, I think the Lakers are the better team, but you always have to encounter or you always have to think about the fact that the Warriors can shoot 50% from three, you know? And if the Warriors are shooting 50% from three with how many threes they take, they're going to kill you. It's going to be really hard to battle against that. And in game six, the Lakers shot 50% from three. They only took 26 threes, so they hit 13 threes. Which is funny because the Warriors hit the same exact amount of threes as the Lakers. They hit 13 threes as well, but they shot 27% from three because they shot 48 threes in the game. They shot 48 threes and only made 27%. Lakers shot 26 threes and hit 13 of them. And this is actually pretty wild. And kind of like, I'm trying to think of like what this tells you about the game, but I think it just tells you how efficient the Lakers were offensively. The Lakers were from the field shot 52% on 75 attempts, 39 for 75 on the game. The Warriors shot 37% from the field on 103 attempts, going 39 for 103. So they actually hit the exact same amount of shots as the Lakers in the game. They had over 25, they had 28 more attempts from the field than the Lakers did. And then looking at the free throws, the Lakers, holy crap. Now that, see, this is why people are mad about the free throw disparity for the Lakers and stuff. The Lakers shot 42 free throws in game six. What's crazy about that is like, people will complain and be like, the Lakers shot 42 free throw attempts compared to the Warriors 14. But the Lakers, like watching the game, and I know I'm a biased fan. I'm a Lakers fan. I am biased. But watching the game, it didn't feel crazy. It didn't feel like the Lakers were getting every call. It felt right. Like it felt like the Lakers were attacking the basket. They were being aggressive, and they were shooting as many free throws as they should have. The Lakers only made 73% of their free throws, but that was 31 of 42, which is pretty wild. Anthony Davis was 7 for 10. LeBron was 8 for 11 from the free throw line. Those two had the most attempts in the game, 21 just between the two of them. And the thing is, like, that feels right. The way that they attack the basket, the way that the Warriors are undersized against the Lakers, like, it makes sense. And watching the game, it didn't feel crazy. That's why I literally, when I pulled it up just now, I was stunned that that's how many they got. I was shocked because it just seemed seamless in the game with how the Lakers were playing and how the Warriors were playing. And again, the Warriors shot 48 threes. So no surprise they're only going to get 14 free throw attempts. I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, I really don't want to get caught up in the conversation about the refereeing and the officiating because one is a slippery slope. It just kind of becomes like a he said, she said type of argument, you know, especially between biased fan bases. The Lakers have a style of play. The Warriors have a style of play that are vastly different from each other. And the way that the Lakers play should result in free throw attempts. So I don't know. I mean, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the Lakers, at the end of the day, the Lakers' aggressiveness is what won them the game in Game 6. Whether it was LeBron just being aggressive and getting into the post and getting layups and attacking the basket, same thing with Anthony Davis, and also the free throw attempts that came from those, from being aggressive, getting fouled. And the thing is like there was multiple times where Steve Kerr was interviewed or asked about this, and he just said, "We need to stop fouling." Like he sees it as the Warriors are the ones fouling. Like they're fouling, they're legitimate calls. So again, I don't want to get too caught up in the weeds of the whole officiating argument and whatnot. But yeah, I mean the Lakers did what they needed to get done. They played good defense, you know, had some help from the Warriors missing some shots, and then they themselves made shots, were extremely efficient, and got to the free throw line. And that's where the Lakers are at their best, when they're attacking the basket, being physical, getting to the free throw line, and creating turnovers and all that kind of stuff. Looking at the turnovers, the Warriors had 10 turnovers to the Lakers 6. So, you know, that's some good defense by the Lakers there. Anthony Davis, who had gone, he had two different games with no blocks, had 2 blocks, 2 steals, 20 rebounds, 17 defensive rebounds. He only took 10 shots and had 17 points in the game. Austin Reeves was the second highest scorer with 23 points, 7 for 12, 4 for 5 from 3, 5 for 5 from the free throw line. Just a great Austin Reeves game. D'Angelo Russell had a quiet 19 points. He was 7 for 15. He was only 2 for 7 from the 3-point line. I think that's why it felt like a quiet 19 points, because he missed a decent amount of three-pointers, but had 19 points in the game. Dennis Schroeder got ejected. He only played 25 minutes. He got one technical early in the game, and then later in the game got a second technical for, I mean, basically, Draymond Green would put the ball into Dennis Schroeder's face, and Dennis Schroeder kind of just stood there, and they gave double technicals, and that was Schroeder's second technical, so he got kicked out, which was kind of strange. Like that seems like something like an action, like either a taunting or a single technical for Draymond Green, but whatever. Lakers won. I'm not gonna get bent out of shape over it. But yeah, so you have from the starting five for the Lakers, 30 from LeBron, 23 from Reeves, 19 from Russell, and 17 from Anthony Davis. And then, like I mentioned, 17 and 20, 20 rebounds. And Anthony Davis was active. He was active on the defensive rebounds. Oh, actually, you know, I said that Anthony Davis went 7 for 10. I was reading his free throw attempts. He went 3 or 5 for 9. He only took 9 shots. Lakers won the game 21 by 21 points, and Anthony Davis only took 9 shots. So that's the thing, is like Anthony Davis is one of the best all-around players in the NBA when he's healthy. And he and this Lakers team can win a game against a good team, a good Warriors team, by 21 points with him only taking 9 shots in the game. It's pretty incredible. I mean, there will be games where you need Anthony Davis to take 15 plus shots. You need him to get 25 plus points. But when you have guys like Austin Reeves that can score, D'Angelo Russell can score, obviously LeBron James can score, not to mention anyone off the bench, right? Lonnie Walker had 13 points off the bench. Rui had 9 points off the bench. Not a huge bench scoring game for the Lakers, but you have guys off the bench that can also get buckets at times. Like you can live with Anthony Davis only taking 9 shots. And again, he didn't need to, you know, which that again kind of frees him up from like energy standpoint and whatnot to play a little harder on defense potentially, and it grab more rebounds, right? Those 20 rebounds are huge. 17 defensive rebounds against a team with like Kevon Looney and Draymond Green and Dante DiVincenzo, who get a lot of offensive rebounds. They get a lot of offensive rebounds. So having Anthony Davis active on the defensive rebounds like that was huge for the Lakers. And ultimately, obviously the free throws were huge. The Warriors just didn't shoot well. 27% from three, 37% from the field. Steph had 32 points, but on 11 of 28 shooting, he only went 4 for 14 from the 3-point line. Klay Thompson only had 8 points in the game, was 3 for 19 from the field, only 2 for 12 from three. You kind of got into desperation mode there with the Warriors just like jacking up a ton of threes and they weren't falling. And so obviously this game looks a lot different if Steph and Klay have big games and whatnot, but that wasn't the case. So the Lakers got a huge win. They close out the Warriors in six games, and it was cool to see LeBron take over this game because there was a lot of questions on whether or not LeBron could still do that. You kind of see LeBron in these playoffs become a little bit of a glorified role player in a way, right? Anthony Davis is the Lakers probably he's kind of become the Lakers' most valuable player. LeBron is kind of, his drive attempts to the basket have decreased drastically these playoffs and since his foot injury. He's taken a lot more jump shots as a way of that. He's been missing a lot more jump shots. His 3-point shooting hasn't been great. He's been able to step up on defense when needed and grab some rebounds and things like that. But just the overall like athleticism and energy and he's just had to pick his spots a little more. It's been a very different playoffs than we've ever seen from LeBron. And to see, and that was what a lot of people's questions were coming into game six is like, can LeBron take over if needed and beat the Warriors if the Lakers need him to? And right from the jump, he was attacking the basket, getting to the basket, grabbing lobs, playing defense, things like that. So it was really cool to see LeBron have one of those vintage games where he was the best player on the court. I mean, Anthony Davis was like probably the best all-around player offensively and defensively. He makes the most impact and stuff, but from a just no one could stop LeBron. I mean, Andrew Wiggins had his like rib injury, so like that was probably slowing him down a little bit, but the way that LeBron just was attacking the basket, attacking specific Warrior players and things like that was really cool to see. So the Lakers get a huge win in game six in LA by 21 points against the defending champion Warriors. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this Warriors team if they stick around, if they keep things together and whatnot. They've kind of been a weird team, right? Like they've been really bad on the road, really good at home. They've had some of those issues between like Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, and it sounds like they had some chemistry issues and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't see why, unless you just can't pay them with the whole new CBA rules and all that stuff, I don't see why you wouldn't try and keep Steph, Klay, and Draymond together. Although, Klay, you saw a pretty big decline in his play these playoffs. Not he had a big game in game two, but wasn't able to hit big shots, wasn't able to defend very well. So, maybe it's just a bad season, bad playoffs. Maybe he gets things figured out next season. We'll see. But I don't want to sit here and be like, Lakers ended the Warriors dynasty, blah blah blah. It's whatever. But it is cool that the Lakers are the first team since the Clippers to knock the Warriors out of a playoff round that wasn't the finals. This is the first Western Conference team since the Clippers in 2014, I think, to eliminate the Warriors from the playoffs. So that's pretty cool to kind of be a part of with this team and all that stuff. So a big win for the Lakers. And now the Lakers, I'm going to transition to the Western Conference Finals. The Lakers are matching up with the Denver Nuggets. We found this out yesterday after the Sixers Celtics game that we have a complete rematch of the bubble. Conference finals. You have the Lakers playing the Nuggets again and the Heat playing the Celtics again. So it'll be interesting to see which teams come out of the East and the West for the finals. You have a potential Lakers Celtics matchup. You have a potential rematch of the Lakers Heat. And then you could see, Jokic, who many people consider the best player in the league right now, getting to his first finals appearance and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires, but don't want to get too ahead of myself. I go back and forth with how this Lakers team matches up with the Nuggets. In one sense, it's a, I mean, they're a complete different team than what the Warriors are, right? The Warriors are very small ball, hit a lot of threes, all that kind of stuff. The Warrior or the Nuggets are a little bit more evenly put together, I should say. Like if a big, their best player is a big in Jokic, kind of like the Lakers, their best player is a big in Anthony Davis. You have Jamal Murray, who is kind of streaky in a way. You know, he'll have a game where he puts up like 30, 40 points, but then he'll also, you know, won't be able to hit anything in 15 points or something, you know. You have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP, who was with the Lakers back in 2020 when the Lakers won. He's a good defender, can hit threes. You know, in their closeout game against the Suns, he had 21 points at halftime or something like that. So he can score for them. Then you have Aaron Gordon, who is just a good athletic guy who can defend and catch lobs and screen and all that kind of stuff. And you have Michael Porter Jr., who is a six, he's 6'10", which I didn't fully realize, but he's a 6'10" wing that can hit threes and just is super athletic and all that stuff. So they, I don't know, you know, I don't, in one sense, I'm like, I kind of like how the Lakers match up, right? Like you have this Anthony Davis Jokic battle, which will be interesting. Anthony Davis is the best defender in the playoffs right now and in the world, I would say, going up against Jokic, who is considered the best offensive player or at least offensive big, if not an offensive player in the league right now. So that'll be, you know, a battle of two titans in the game, which will be fun to see. You have Jokic, who is just is too slow to even guard Anthony Davis on the offensive side for the Lakers. So it'll be interesting to see who they put on Anthony Davis. Maybe it's Aaron Gordon. Probably is Aaron Gordon that you probably don't put Jokic on him. Maybe for some possessions. And then you have, like I mentioned, Jamal Murray, who's kind of a quick guard who can shoot threes. He kind of reminds me of a poor man's Steph Curry almost. Like he's not Steph. You don't have to treat him or respect him like Steph, but he can knock down threes. He can come off screens. He's quick, that kind of stuff. KCP, right? We know his game pretty well. Good defender, can hit spot up threes, that kind of stuff. And then Michael Porter Jr., he's kind of like a, I don't know. He's kind of a wild card in a way. Like if he's hot, it can be deadly. Sometimes he goes quiet and is a non-factor in a game. I feel like this will be a big series for the Lakers bigs, right? You have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and then I think Jared Vanderbilt will be huge this series. I think Rui Hachimura will be big this series. We'll probably see a decent amount of Wenyen Gabriel, maybe. Maybe Darvin Ham kind of toys around with him. You'll probably see a little less of Lonnie Walker, I would imagine. Although I think Lonnie Walker has earned at least some playing time to maybe try and guard and counteract Jamal Murray potentially. You have KCP, who's like a you know, he's like 6'5". I think maybe you see a matchup with D'Lo and KCP, which is tough because I think KCP is probably a little too quick for D'Lo, on the defensive end. Well, actually, both defensively and offensively, that could kind of shut D'Lo down again. We'll see. I don't know. And then I think it'll be a big series for Schroeder trying to cover and chase Jamal Murray. Austin Reeves, maybe you see Austin Reeves in KCP matchup, in which case maybe that leaves D'Lo with a mismatch on somebody. I don't know. I just see this as a definitely going to be a little bit more of a physical series. The Nuggets can, in theory, they have guys that can kind of take away some of the Lakers' strengths in like getting to the basket and stuff. But I've seen people on Twitter being like, "Well, who are the Nuggets going to have guard LeBron?" Right? Like you have Aaron Gordon go up against Anthony Davis, which in a similar Draymond-like fashion, he can probably slow down Anthony Davis, but he's still undersized, in which case Anthony Davis should be able to score if, you know, if he's able to be aggressive and all that stuff. Michael Porter Jr. is kind of one of those weird like mismatch guys where like he's not strong enough, I don't think, to like guard Anthony Davis down low, but he definitely has the quickness to keep up with him around the perimeter in that sense, so that could be an interesting matchup. Jokic, right? Like you throw Jokic on like a Jared Vanderbilt kind of guy potentially on defense because Jokic isn't a great defender. But then like who's gonna, you can't put KCP on LeBron. LeBron is too big for KCP, but they might try that. But if you put Aaron Gordon on LeBron, then you can't put, I mean, you could try putting Michael Porter Jr. on Anthony Davis, but I don't think he's strong enough to take Anthony Davis down low. And then you have this the inverse situation with Jokic guarding Anthony Davis, where Jokic has the size and he's thick and stuff, but he's not quick enough side to side to stay with Anthony Davis. So I do think that while the Nuggets are a really well-rounded team and they're a deep team, they do have some holes defensively that the Lakers can exploit. I think on the flip side defensively, I think Anthony Davis can help counteract a lot of what Jokic threatens on the offensive side. I think Schroeder can help slow down guys like Jamal Murray. I think Austin Reeves maybe can it'll be it's hard. The thing is, like, it's hard because I'm going off of nothing. I tweeted this out a couple days ago. The last time the Lakers played the Nuggets this season, their starting lineup was, I need to pull this up really quick. It was, Anthony Davis, I think, and LeBron James were hurt, so they weren't playing. Where is this? The Lakers starting lineup the last time they played the Denver Nuggets was Juan Toscano-Anderson, Thomas Bryant, Patrick Beverley, Dennis Schroeder, and Max Christie. So two of those guys are on the team still, and Max Christie and Dennis Schroeder, but it literally tells you nothing. And you could go back and, like, kind of piecemeal some things, right? Like, Anthony Davis had a big game against them earlier in the season, and, like, the last time we played them was, like, in January or December or something like that. So who knows? You're going off nothing. It's hard to say. So I'm really trying to, like, just imagine, right? Like, how would Austin Reaves match up against KCP? And, like, you can probably pull some plays, like some videos, some clips and stuff, and like the Lakers would do themselves watching film. You can piecemeal some stuff, but the regular season isn't really going to tell us a whole lot about this matchup. It's really just kind of like, okay, I know these guys' games. I know the Lakers, these guys' games on the Lakers, and how are they going to match up in my mind? And so I have this idea of how things are going to go, but we won't really know until games one and two happen, which happen tomorrow, Tuesday at 5:30 Pacific time, and then this game two will be on Thursday at that same time. So it'll be really interesting to see how the Lakers match up with the Nuggets. I think as any series, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are the wild card. I mean, not the wild card, like, they are the two go-to guys, but, like, they are a wild card against any team. They can go small, they can go big. And the one thing, the Lakers beat the Nuggets in five in the Western Conference Finals in the bubble. And this was a different teams. We had KCP was on our team. Jokic was a lot younger. Jamal Murray was younger, a little more fresh, less experienced, that kind of stuff. So I definitely expect to see for it to be a tougher battle in that sense. We also don't have guys this season like we did in 2020, like Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, just he roughed up Jokic. Like, his job was to go in there and make Jokic uncomfortable. Like, when we were on defense, when the Lakers were on defense playing, and, like, Jokic had the ball, his job was to just make Jokic uncomfortable. Don't matter if you foul out, just be physical against him and kind of rough him up a little bit. Lakers don't really have that guy. I mean, you have Jared Vanderbilt, who can be physical, but he's undersized compared to Jokic. I mean, Anthony Davis can be physical, but you don't want him to getting into foul trouble. Mo Bamba has a high ankle sprain, so he didn't play at all this series against the Warriors. Maybe if he's healthy, if he can get healthy, maybe you can throw him in there, but I thought maybe they would have done that against the Grizzlies, and that didn't happen either. So, I don't know if Mo Bamba sees any playing time, but the Lakers don't really have that big that's going to rough up Jokic or try and, like, impede him at all. So it's really on Anthony Davis to try and do that. So even looking back at the series 3 years ago, it's hard to say how these teams are going to match up. So I think it'll be a good battle. I think a lot of people, you're either, like, pro, like, 100% Nuggets are going to win or 100% Lakers are going to win. I'm somewhere in the middle. It's just hard to say until you see the first couple games. But I do think that LeBron James and Anthony Davis pose a threat that the Nuggets don't have. Like, you have Jokic, who is, arguably one of the best offensive players in the game, but you don't have that second guy. Like, Jamal Murray could be that guy, but he's just not on that same level as LeBron and Anthony Davis. So I do think the Lakers have let's say you argue that Jokic is the best player in this series. The Lakers have the next two best guys in Anthony Davis and LeBron. And then from there, you can kind of go back and forth and argue who's better than who and stuff. So I do think that gives the Lakers a slight edge. I could see the series going to seven. I could see the Lakers winning in six. I could see the Nuggets winning in six. I really have a hard time predicting this series, but I do kind of like the Lakers matchup. I do the fact, I mean, just the fact that when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron, you're just going to match up really well against most teams. So if LeBron can stay healthy, if he can stay energized, if he can keep attacking the basket, same with Anthony Davis, if they can keep getting to the free throw line, kind of that kind of stuff. And then you add in guys like Reeves and D'Lo hitting threes and stuff like that. I do like the Lakers' chances. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night in game one. But until then, thank you all for listening and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!